after what seems like years of badgering, Kevin McElroy, Knickerblogger, are you with, I mean, are you technically still with HP?
Oh, yeah, let's go with that.
And the Cauldron, you ever do anything for them anymore?
Yeah, so I'm on a little bit of a sabbatical right now because I'm in grad school and I am just out of time. But I am technically still with all of those places.
How long is a little sabbatical? This sabbatical's been going on for like 2 years. I feel like.
Oh no, we're only a year in. Year one of three of the sabbatical is complete.
Okay.
Now I just complain about things on Twitter. It's much more my natural state anyway.
All right, so this is like a joint Podium Game podcast, Knickerblogger podcast. I'll post it up at both places. The Knicks traded for Derrick Rose, soon to be 28 years old. Just a couple basic points first. Last three seasons, 96 offensive rating, 109 defensive rating. That's in totality. Two of the last three seasons, the Bulls have been worse with Rose on the court. So this year and 3 years ago, they were worse with him on the court. The middle year, they were better when he played. And finally, what was the last thing I was going to say? Oh, he played 66 games last year, and that was a good thing.
Well, I guess not if they're better with him off the court. Would have been better if he played 16 games.
Yeah, but from a personal perspective for him, yeah, that was considered a good thing. And we'll bring on Kevin here in 1 second as I blab on way too much. The Knicks gave up Robin Lopez. He has 3 years left on his deal. Jerian Grant, I think he's probably has 3 years left on his deal, with two of them being team options. Then he's a restricted free agent, and they also traded the expiring contract of Jose Calderon. The Knicks got a 2017 second-round pick plus Justin Holiday, who has 1 year and like $1 million left on his contract. So that's the totality of the trade. Kevin McElroy, your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't think it's that big of a... So this is where I found myself kind of on the other side from just about everybody. I don't love it because I don't think Derrick Rose is ever going to be good again, or at least really good. I don't hate it because I don't think we gave up anything that we're going to horribly regret having given up. On the whole, I like the extra cap flexibility, and I think it'll make us worse this year, and we'll be really bad, and we'll get a little better draft pick. And I'm more worried about that right now than I am about, you know, holding down a decent starting center and a guy who maybe in 3 years turns into a plus backup point guard. Because that's deck chairs on the Titanic. Like, they're not good enough to be worrying about those kinds of pieces yet. And right now they have Porzingis and they have Melo and they have room for a max guy this year that I hope they don't use on a long-term deal. And that would give them room for two max guys next year. And then they go into the following year with Porzingis, two max guys, and Melo on an expiring contract who they can flip for another one if they wanted to. So I think long-term, I think I said yesterday on Twitter, there's like a 5% chance this turns out good. There's like a 3% chance it turns out bad, and there's like a 92% chance that it didn't matter. So that is the least hot take that anyone has on this, but it is mine. I'm going to stick with it.
All right, so let's pick it apart here. Let's start with the salary cap flexibility. In reality, what's going to end up happening, it's only really saving them about the $13 million that would have came off the books from Lopez. And my guess is that's not even all that impactful, because we're kidding ourselves if we're pretending like Phil Jackson isn't going out and spending that $30 to $35 million this summer split between two players on contracts that will be longer than 2 years. In addition to that, they can also go over the cap to sign Lance Thomas and Langston Galloway, which I wouldn't be surprised to see them do, because they have bird rights on both of those players. So the idea that they're going to have the money for two max guys next summer, I'm not buying in any shape, way, or form.
So I want to turn that around a little bit because I – look, there's – again, as I – my feeling here is the Knicks are – the Knicks are always eventually going to do something terribly stupid. Like, there's always something coming that's, like, the really stupid thing that will cripple them for years, right? I just don't think this was it.
But in conjunction – Here's where, look, to your point, okay, say they did this, they didn't go and spend big money on another center, they found a reasonably priced wing, maybe another reasonably priced guard, two wings, a wing and a guard, something of that nature, kept their future flexibility, had got a cheap backup center, moved KP to center. I could live with that. I don't think that's what's happening here.
But,
they're trying to win now. Phil Jackson has tried to win now in both of his previous off seasons.
Yeah, so let's find that out though. Like, if they say they sign, okay, the thing everybody's afraid will happen is that they're going to go sign Dwight Howard, right?
I think no is more realistic.
Fine, but let's say they sign a center who is on the downside of his career to a 4-year, $80 million deal.
I'll take it. I don't think it'll be that harmful. I think they get Noah for like 3 years between 50 and 60. That would be my prediction.
Fine. So let's say they do that. Let's say the deals happened in the other order, okay? Let's say they did that first and then they made this trade. Well, then you're not mad about this trade because that damage is already done. And you don't want, it doesn't make sense to have Robin Lopez and Noah, right? So this trade, my point is that this trade isn't the problem. It's because it's happening first and scaring you that you're afraid, you're not upset about this trade. You think this reveals an overall plan that you're unhappy about. And the other point I want to make is, say it was the other way around. And this is especially relevant to me because I live in Chicago, and so I'm getting it from both sides in this trade because like the Bulls fans here are out of their minds and actually think that like they just gave up like an MVP for nothing. Like it's crazy having both sides of this yell at me, and I'm like you're both out here, you're both just like out of it. But imagine if the Knicks had Rose and have been waiting out these injuries, and now they're into the last year of Rose, and we're like, okay, great, we're finally just going to get this guy off the cap and move on. And then we trade him as a bad team for like an above average starting center and like a low upside backup point guard and put $15 million on our cap for 3 more years instead of just letting Rose come off. We'd all be mad about that too. Like,
no, I disagree with that. I actually,
really?
Yes, I think.
You think that if the Knicks, as a 35-win team, moved a max-level expiring contract for a 3-year commitment to a center, and that's it's a good deal, Lopez's deal, but, like, good deals are good or bad in context, right? Like, where were we ever going to get with him? The best argument for Lopez is, well, you know, we should have held on to him and traded him for something better. But that's... You can make that argument for any trade. Any trade you can say, well, we should have gotten someone better for what we traded away. Like, I don't – what were the other offers out there for Lopez?
Here's my counter is that in the context of where the NBA is right now with how the salary cap is going these next two seasons, I'm flipping it.
Become a bargain.
Not even becoming a bargain. Salary cap, but yeah, that does have something to do with it. You're right, that does. But that's I'm kind of flipping the words around a little bit. That salary cap space isn't as valuable anymore. What's more valuable is having guys who are on long-term deals because that's going to be a better price point than what you're spending money on. So I would rather have a core group of players with a little less cap space, but still having flexibility. Like having Grant and Lopez wasn't stopping the Knicks from having flexibility. And if it came down to it and they really needed to dump him, they could have dumped him next year or this or at the trade deadline, whenever they wanted, into empty cap space anyway. So there was no rush to do something like this. The move with Rose that would have made sense is to have him be a holder. So if you waited till the new league year started on July 1st, and you took Rose into your empty cap space for like a sec, either I would want a second round pick to take on Rose's money. Maybe that wouldn't work, and realistically, we would have had to give him the Bulls a second round pick or something like that to get him into our empty cap space, and then have that be a holder for a year, not spend it on guys on long-term contracts, and then roll that salary cap money into next season. But since they did it before the new league year and they're using his money, they can still additionally spend that money onto other pieces. So I think that's an important distinction in how this is getting done.
Yeah, I don't especially disagree with any of that. I'm viewing this, I guess, through a couple of lenses. One in the context of where they are now. And the other one just in the context of it, like this is the Knicks, and they have made so many.
No, we come on, we can't do that. That's like I use this example in a conversation with someone on GChat. It's like with the Jets and being okay with Ryan Fitzpatrick because he broke all the Jets quarterback records. Well, the Jets had fucking shitty ass quarterbacks. I don't care about being better than that.
Yeah, but being a Jets fan is a waste of time.
So is being a Knicks fan.
Nah, the Knicks are awesome, man.
Jeez.
No. Seriously, okay. So maybe the Knicks are always like one CBA behind the times.
But
maybe they're just going to always be good at any given moment, they'll be good at running a team like it's 15 years ago. Like,
who was trading for Derrick Rose? So they gave up something for people were not giving anything up. This is what they always do. They give up explicitly more than they need to.
I think that, like, I have seen in the last 24 hours an entire, like, cottage industry of people who think that we should have gotten some kind of king's ransom for Robin Lopez. It's Robin Lopez. I mean, the guy had a good year. He's a good player. He's like, if he's your center and he's your like fourth best starter, you're probably pretty good. If he's your second best starter, you're probably pretty bad.
But
which I know because that was the Knicks situation last year.
You keep him and he could eventually, he's basically a 25 minute a game guy, and then you're going to play KP at center the rest of those minutes. And for $13 million with the sales, with where the salary cap is going, that's a perfectly acceptable role.
He had 5.8 win shares last year, which whatever with win shares, but let's just use that. Rose had one. I'm decimals wrong. Rose had 0.09.
No,
Rose had a tenth of win share.
Awful.
No, Rose, this isn't... Okay.
The best case scenario...
I would like to say for the record, since the American people have the right to know whether or not their president is a crook, that Robin Lopez is a better basketball player than Derrick Rose. And that's my point, is like, I'm the one time fighting with Knicks fans and saying this isn't that big of a deal to lose Robin Lopez. And like then like someone's walking into my office and I'm needing to say to them, like, no, you just got the best guy in the trade. Like, they don't... Like, no, everybody disagrees with me, which is maybe why I'm going crazy. But my point on Lopez is that if he's a 5-win player, I'd actually rather be 5 wins worse next year and bottom out.
But they're not doing it intentionally. This is like,
but then I'll be mad about that trade. I'll be if I wake up on July 1st. I'm going to be in Montreal on July 1st on a trip with my wife for our first anniversary. So this would be a very sad thing for me to wake up in the lovely city of Montreal and discover that the Knicks have committed $60 million to Joakim Noah. And I promise you that I will be angry then. But if they don't make that move, this is a good move, or at least an okay move. If they do make that move, then they had to make this move anyway. So why am I upset about this move?
Because you don't make it if they don't trade Lopez. Then you invest your money, the opportunity cost.
I just think you're looking at it backwards. I think you're looking at it backwards. Okay, if this is part of a broader plan, right, then it's collateral damage to that plan. But Phil Jackson didn't say, like, hey, here's my big plan for the offseason. Let's get Derrick Rose. I refuse to believe that. If he did, that's stupid. But then we accidentally tanked. So cool. But I think that, like, Joakim Noah isn't even better than Robin Lopez. The idea that we would try to get, like, actively try to get rid of Robin Lopez and then sign somebody.
He was. Not anymore.
No, I mean now.
Yeah.
No, Joakim Noah at his peak. If this was peak Joakim Noah, that I would absolutely make this trade to clear up room for him, which I assume anybody would. Same with if it was peak Dwight Howard, but, like, it's not either of those things. I don't see them, as little faith as I have in them, I don't see them having, like, a cool-headed assessment of this offseason that says, let's jump through hoops to get rid of Robin Lopez so we can sign Joakim Noah. That just doesn't make sense. Even for a dumb team, that doesn't make sense. What stack could they... I don't see it. And if they do that, that will be stupid and I'll be upset. This potentially sets up a few different paths, some of which aren't terrible, and so I'm just kind of whatever about it. I don't think there's anything we gave up in this trade that in 3 years we're going to look back and be like, man, I could really get out of this jam if I had a Robin Lopez right now. Like, there's just not a chance of that happening.
I like the idea of, I don't like having
get
just...
Get value for your assets. That's the whole thing, is get value for your... Like, the people online that are mad at some of this trade are, like, options investors and poker players, because those are people who say, every time I'm holding something in my hands, it has value, and I don't give it up for nothing.
And
that's the whole argument.
But here's the thing, when you're trying to get free agents next year, you're gonna be battling with teams that have 9-10 guys under contracts and have fully formed teams and going for it with two. And if you have the max law, and so that's not an attractive situation to people.
I mean, the Knicks have always had 12 guys and been terrible. Maybe they should just have four guys on the team this year.
It's 2000.
They have five guys right now. I think they need to add depth. That's my analysis.
Yeah, but and
I'm coming out of my sabbatical to say they need to add depth to this 5-man roster.
the only way this Rose thing made sense to me was if it was a linchpin to get Durant, and that's completely unrealistic and not happening. Otherwise, there's just no reason to do it. I would have rather just kept Lopez, kept the other guys, and went and paid Tyler Johnson and Alan Crabb in free agency and just seen how the front court did with a couple young guards and starting to put some pieces into place that fit around Porzingis.
The hottest take I have on this is that I actually am... I think I'd rather have the second round pick than Grant.
I disagree with that. I think Grant was used horribly by the previous regime. I liked him going into the draft, and I think whenever they actually let him run pick and roll, he was extremely effective, and he was already a positive defender as a 23-year-old rookie, and that's only going to get better. I think he's a first guard off the bench in the NBA, and a quality one at that.
Wow. Man, that's... I just don't think his ceiling is there. I think he's like the eighth guy in your rotation. And that's good. I mean, he's somebody that, like...
And for $1 million, that's good to have.
But on what team? Come on. Like, how many games are they going to win this year? Who cares?
I would have liked to seen them been... I don't know. I go back and forth whether they should intentionally tank again this year or be half decent and make themselves more attractive for the free agent class.
What if this isn't... Here, devil's advocate, right? What if this isn't the precursor to signing Noah? What if they have, like, a real set of talks in place to move Melo, and this is step one of blowing the team up.
That I'd be fine with.
And so if they do that, then you're retroactively okay with this trade too.
Yes.
Okay, so.
But that's not the path that's happening. They're signing Joakim Noah for 3 years and $60 million.
Why do you think that? Just because it's the Knicks and they're still, like, you're upset at me for having a low bar because it's the Knicks. But you just are insistent in advance that they're good. And, like, again, this is what I
when have I been proven wrong with this? I mean,
but that's okay.
Doing this, I'm going to be right.
After spending a fair amount of my afternoon arguing with people yesterday, what I closed with was they will eventually do something cripplingly stupid. There's no getting around that. They're going to. But I don't think this was it. This is step one of like four different possible plans. And like two of those plans are good, and one is like pretty dumb, and the other is like horrifically dumb.
And the horrifically dumb one is the one that's coming.
Okay, fine. Then be mad when it happens. But,
no, I want to be right. I want to be mad before.
Well, right, but then you're just going to be mad all the time because you could say, if you assume that everything they're going to do is dumb, you could say, you could look at literally anything they do. Anytime they clear up cap space, you could be like, they're gonna bring Amari back for $200 million. Like there is no limit to the Knicks' stupidity. So if we impose that on every small and big move they do, then we're just going to be crazy all the time, which we mostly are. But I just don't think I don't think this is the move that I just don't I don't know. I'm sorry to
what's
go
the okay
and say that I think this big story is not. Big. I just don't think this is a big thing.
Jared Dubin brought this up. I want to give him credit. I was talking to him about it, and he made a great point. What is the upside of this? What is the downside? Basically the upside is I'm going to switch around.
There's two upsides.
One is
lightning in a bottle with Rose, and there's a more boring upside, which is a tank and they blow the team up.
The tank and they blow the team up is the real upside. The other one has a bad ending because then the Knicks give him a max contract and 5 years.
Right, the worst, I agree the worst thing that could happen is
him being good again.
If the Knicks were smart, right, if they were smart, then the best thing that could happen, if they were the Spurs or something, the best thing that could happen is he has a great year and they trade him at the deadline.
That would be the Patriots. That's the Patriots move.
Right. Is they come out, he's having a great year, the Knicks are hovering around the 8th seed, they're not going anywhere, but Rose has been great, and you move him at the deadline for picks or a young guy or something. Like that'd be
fantastic.
Right. That's the upside for a smart team. The upside for the Knicks is a tank, in which case, yeah, I mean, you could have moved Lopez for a pick or something and gotten the same thing, right? Is that where this is going?
Well, no, the tank, if it all bombs, really bombs, it could be way better pick than what Lopez would have brought. I think
right.
Lopez, you're probably, I mean, you something in the late teens, early 20s is probably the pick you get for Lopez. Markieff Morris went for the 13th pick.
But you need there to be someone in that range who needs a center. You need, like, it's not...
Hold on. NBA draft.
Are you talking about this draft? Or are you talking about like a 2017 pick?
No, I'm talking about say this draft, or just who needs center. I was going to use this draft as an example. I bet you we could find a team in there that could have used Boston. They're like the 17th pick. Would Boston give up the 17th pick for Robin Lopez? Maybe. Or six,
they're
16.
They have 16 and 23. I think at best, I think we get 23 from them.
Detroit desperately needs a backup center, and
they're gonna have like half their cap be Drummond and Lopez. I don't know. Maybe
that's fair.
That's
Charlotte needs a replacement for Al Jefferson.
Yeah, you get into issues, right? Sixers, no way. Clippers, no way. Sixers again. Raptors, no way.
I think the Hornets is a good one at 22.
Don't they have Al Jefferson?
No, free agent.
Oh, he's walking?
Yeah, he's gone. So that's they have a pretty big hole there. And I think Lopez could play with Zeller, too. Even though Zeller's a restricted free agent also.
This is where I do get on the side of... Because, like, man, when am I, like, sunshine and rainbows guy, right? Like, but this is where I do... And this has been a funny thing on Twitter as well, is like I'm finding myself agreeing with all the different people that I usually am agreeing with and disagreeing with all the – and that's weird. Like I'm on – you and I tend to fall on the same side of a lot of these things. And like the people who I'm seeing like favoriting my tweets are like people who are typically calling me an idiot and telling me that I'm a Nets fan. But
– Oh, yeah, you're on Team Bargnani right now.
Oh, dude. I was This trade's not like that trade, though, but whatever.
It is in a way of giving up something for someone that nobody wanted, but it's not nearly as bad. I mean,
you're not giving up first-rounders, and it's an expired whatever. I'm not going to read it.
They did give up a first-round pick.
No, they didn't.
They did. He had one. He has 3 cheap years left on his contract. They gave up a first-round pick. He was the 17th pick in the draft or whatever. They gave up a first-round pick.
Are you talking about Lopez?
Grant. That was a first-round pick. They traded a first-round pick.
He was the 17th pick in the draft?
Yup.
I've been on sabbatical too long.
It might have been 18. It was something in that range. Whatever the Hawks pick was last year. But they had an earlier one. It was from Washington. So it was somewhere in the late 19, teens.
19, you're right.
Okay.
I don't know. I just can't... I'm asking myself at the end of the day, what's the worst case scenario? And unless you want to get into...
5 years, $140 million for Derrick Rose is a really bad scenario.
But now you're mad. Now you're premising the whole argument on the idea that he's never going to be good again. And now you're terrified that he's going to be good again. It's like...
Yeah, it's just
the most defeatist... It's the most defeatist attitude. Like... Just let him, I don't know.
That's how I see it. I just see it as a no win, that there's nothing that really that good that can come out of this. Both endings are bad.
What if it's the trade deadline and there's somebody we want available and now we got a max level expiring contract to move?
I don't think expiring contracts have all that much value anymore because every team's going to have cap space because of how much it's jumping.
It would be just like the Knicks to finally figure out that expiring contracts have value, like...
When they don't have value?
Yeah.
When they don't have value.
That was, like, the thing all along. They kept moving, like, Ewing, and I started with Ewing, but they kept moving guys coming into the last year in their deal for guys with, like, 4 years left and being like, hey, we solidified that position for 3 more years, and, like, you idiots, that's not how it works.
Walsh understood it. That's why that's why he gave up. I was actually talking to someone about this today. They're like, well, they gave up stuff in addition to get McGrady. I was like, they weren't trading for McGrady. They were trading for McGrady's contract. And that's why Morey had the leverage in that situation to be able to ask, because he knew the Knicks were desperate to get that McGrady contract.
Yeah, and then McGrady made that one, like, 75-foot bounce pass that was, like, the single best court vision play a Nick has made in my life.
That Thunder game was a sneaky, really fun Knicks game.
When's the last time the Knicks had like a player with plus court vision? Like I guess Melo kind of does, but he doesn't really pass.
Last year.
Yeah. No. I think that. See, and here
they had Jason. They had Jason Kidd, dude.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, never mind.
And Felton's passing was fine.
That's another weird thing going on with the Knicks right now. It's like I actually like I have more faith in Melo to fit in with a guy like Rose now than I would have a few years ago. Like I actually don't think those two together is a bad part of this.
This is what's kind of depressing about this to me.
Yeah.
Is that if you had peak Rose with Porzingis and Melo at the 5, I think that's pretty much perfect.
Yeah, because you could just run all kinds of pick and roll.
And
I mean, Rose, they didn't you like, I think Porzingis, at one point last year, I looked at it, and he had the best, like, with somebody with a certain number of attempts, he had the most points per play as the role man in the league.
And they just never did it.
They weren't doing it.
Yeah.
Ever.
Never.
And they didn't, I mean, it was a reasonable argument that, like, although it's not like Calderon, Cameron Pickett, whatever, that I don't, whatever, it's fine.
But those two guys are the exact type of spacing you need for a point guard like Rose who isn't going to make threes.
No, exactly. And then it's so easy to fill the roster in with shooters and defenders, right? It's like it kind of writes itself after that.
I kind of like Justin Holiday. He's someone when I was in college, I had a bunch of friends who were Washington fans who were from Seattle. So I saw him a ton.
So is Grant for Holiday in the second really that bad? I just don't think that part of the trade's that bad.
Grant's 24, Holiday's almost 27. Is he almost 28? I have that in front of me. And
him and Rose are both 27. That's the crazy thing too, right? It's like, look, this isn't true in basketball years, but it's actually crazy to think that Rose is only 3 years older than Grant.
Yeah, and if he had, like, maybe one healthy knee, that means something.
No. It's purely trivial at this point, but it is, like, we're talking about it like we just traded, like, a 20-year-old for, like, a 35-year-old. And, like, they, like, were close enough to, like, go to each other's birthday parties as kids. They probably even did. I don't know what cities they were in, but Rose is in Chicago. Where's Grant from? Is he from, like, Orlando? Because that's where Harvey Grant played or something?
It's wherever him and Oladipo were friends. MSG did, like, 19 pieces on that. Yeah, so wherever...
He's from Silver Spring, Maryland.
But, what was I about to say? Yeah, if this was all these guys... If Melo and Rose were at their peaks, I think they would fit together. Because it's going to push Melo more towards Olympic Melo. And for someone like Derrick Rose, he'll do that. And he'll do it for KP also, because he loves KP.
That's the other thing here is that makes me the thing that makes me if I were to choose to be angry about this trade, I absolutely could. It's totally in my wheelhouse to be. And what would be upsetting to me is that this is just the latest chapter in Dolan's star chasing. Right, the guy just chases names and chases brands.
Well, that's
he doesn't think about building a basketball team. He just goes and says, "Oh, Derrick Rose." And the most vocal people who like the trade were just like, it's Derrick Rose. You got to do that. It's like, no, you don't have to do that. Like, it's not. And it's only Derrick Rose in name, right? Like, he's averaged like 16-4 on like a 47% true shooting percentage for the last 3 years. Like,
the stats from his last 3 years are so horrendous.
It's sad, man. It's really sad. Because what a kind of joyful player. I think I've mentioned this to you before, but like the first time I ever got a credential to cover a game live, it was a Knicks Bulls game in Chicago, and I got lost in the tunnels. I was looking for the press room, and I'm walking through the tunnels like alone and like freaking out. I was like 24 or something.
I hope this was the Tony Douglas game.
It was where they hit like the team hit like 14 threes or something. It was like the beginning of the first Amari season. It was like,
and Tony hit like 10 of them. Amazing.
Yeah, I think he hit 6 threes, maybe 7.
Yeah,
but I was just wandering around in the tunnel, and I was like just standing still, looking like in every direction, like in the middle, like the biggest sitting duck ever. And I'm looking one way, and I just hear like what sounds like somebody's rolling a heavy cart behind me, and I turn around and it's Rose doing wind sprints, and he like takes a quick like shift at the last second to go around me. But it was just like it was the fastest I've ever seen something bear down on me in my life.
What,
like the guy was so fast.
There's gonna be like 8 to 10 games where the three of them all play together, and you're like, holy cow.
My other prediction is that I'm calling it right now. Rose is going to drop like 35-8 on opening night, and we're going to see the single biggest New York media overreaction of our lifetimes. And they might like during the post game press conference, they might rehire Isaiah to sign Rose to a 7-year extension.
Oh God!
After that happens,
don't do this. This is so terrifying.
It's whatever, man. I mean, I am predicting a 90-95% chance that this is like just a non-event in in the broader course of Knicks history, which is grim because, like, the fact that it can't even really blow up that bad just speaks to the fact that they were already useless.
This is the ironic part about all of this. When the summer Melo was a free agent was happening, I was probably the single person who thought Melo signing with the Bulls was a bad idea because I didn't trust Rose and I thought Noah was declining. So I didn't think it was smart for him to go there. And now I'm going to have to watch them 3 years later and 3 years older, them doing it on the team I root for.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's rough.
Yeah, the Knicks are like one of those like torture porn horror movies where it's like there's some psycho sitting in a room somewhere who's like very, very personally crafted some like means of just psychologically destroying you.
My football team is trying to re-sign Ryan Fitzpatrick.
They shouldn't be a Jets fan.
They drafted Christian Hackenberg. The Knicks just traded for Derrick Rose. I mean, these last, like, 4 months of sports have been just fucking torture, man.
Are you a Mets fan, too?
No, I grew up a Yankees fan, but I just, when I moved to Arizona...
You're just not a basketball guy.
I follow it at a much farther distance than I used to because I work in media out here, so I have to follow the Diamondbacks. Because
they said like there's some weird elbow inflammation thing happening with Syndergaard too. This is a banner week in New York sports.
His MRI came back okay. They said I thought
okay.
Though yeah, him and Cespedes ended up in the hospital last night after the game, but I think. Thor's okay. I mean, a guy named Thor is not allowed to get hurt.
Yeah, that's a good point. That would really dent the brand there.
I don't think that works.
Right. I don't remember Thor ever not being able to throw his hammer because he had elbow inflammation. I don't think I read that comic strip.
What kind of
ancient Norse epic?
Thor can throw a hammer. What kind of pussy Thor can't throw a baseball? Jesus.
Anybody can throw the baseball.
Yeah,
it'd be great if nobody else could pick up the baseball on Syndergaard's pitching days. That'd be good. Anyway, my So
final thoughts.
You failed to move me. I mean, I get it, right? I get it. And if somebody said, "Hey," and you seem like you're being relatively reasonable about this, other than like the crazy defeatist parts where
I'm being honest about how they're going to eventually screw it up. Yeah.
Before I say you're being reasonable on this, I should mention that like I just basically claimed that Jigsaw from Saw is the next GM, and he has only you in mind, and you didn't dispute that. So maybe you're not being reasonable. But what I think is that it's totally there's a clear sensible argument against this trade. There is a very sensible fear that the Knicks are about to do something really stupid. That maybe this trade, if you already were afraid of that, this trade maybe bolsters it. I get that. If this ends up being an offseason where something very stupid happens, this will be collateral damage of that overall stupid plan. This will not be the...
it was the kickoff. It was the starting point.
But that's just an accident of what you're allowed to do first versus not. Like... It's not like if this trade had been turned down, they would have been like, well, guess we're not going to sign Joakim Noah. Like,
I think so, because they wouldn't have just traded Lopez for no reason. They traded Lopez because they wanted Rose.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's right, and maybe they did something that's not stupid for a stupid reason. Like, if they think that Rose might be great, then they're going to be wrong, and they're going to tank, and then they're going to have a contract expire. And if it were me, and this is the whole thing of the trade, like, I would, if I could go back in time, I just would never have signed Lopez, because I don't get making a long-term commitment to that level of a player when you're so far away from contending.
It helped, because it was good for KP.
Maybe, I guess so.
Yes.
I mean, I guess just because he didn't have the guard centers as a rookie.
No, and it's more than that. The rebounding, they rebounded like 5% better with Lopez on the court. He was definitely good for KP. And you didn't have to have... Well, I'm all about KP playing center, and I think eventually that's going to be his full-time position. I think it's smart to bring him along slowly and keep him at 15 to 20 minutes there right now.
Yeah. If they sign Noah, I'll come back on the podcast, and I won't say you were right, but
you'll admit you're wrong.
I will be angrier than you, though. I can promise you that. Disappointingly mellow as I am today, I will be that angry after they sign Joakim Noah or Dwight Howard.
I don't want to root for Noah and Derrick Rose. I mean, that's rough, man. That's hard.
No, like, I
like, screw the Bulls.
I hate the Bulls so much, and I have to live in Chicago with Bulls fans. And I've had to hear people be delusional about mostly Rose, but they really haven't been delusional about Noah. They actually were ready to cut that guy's throat as soon as he wasn't great anymore. But, yeah, no, like, the last,
brought up the worst of them all.
If I go... Oh, wait, what?
We haven't brought up the worst big man option of them all yet. There's one worse than Noah and Dwight.
Who?
Powell. He would be the worst of the three.
Amari Stoudemire?
No.
Powell. Yeah, Powell.
He'd be. Powell. Yeah, but he can't play lick of defense.
Heck of a nice guy on Twitter, though.
Yes, but I don't really...
And bilingually, so.
I'd rather an asshole.
Yeah, I think, I guess here's my closing thought. If Derrick Rose, so I think I've gone to probably like 10 or 12 Knicks games at the United Center at this point, and I think the Knicks are 0-12.
They won one last year.
Yeah, I didn't go to it.
Okay.
Like, yeah, then that was the one they went up like 18-0 or something too, right? And I was like sitting in my living room just friggin' angry. If they sign Rose, and I go, and Rose lights the Bulls up for like 40 points, and the Knicks win, and everyone in that arena is miserable, then there's not like even if they do this Noah thing and it dooms them for 5 years, trade worth it.
That'd be fun.
There's nothing like being in a room full of sad Bulls fans, man. It's the best.
Sean Hyken said.
The Knicks did win one. They won that Tony Douglas game. They haven't won one that I've been to since then.
Sean Hyken's at it. I wouldn't be surprised if they played opening night.
Oh, yeah. And it was here. I'm not going to get tickets to that, though, because it'll be wild. Oh, man.
Get a credential.
Yeah, I just wanted to light them up. I'm on sabbatical. There's no credentials for men on sabbatical.
They don't know that. Just say you're going for HP.
I'll say I got to host the podcast one time.
You don't even have to do that. Just...
No, the Bulls are bad with credentials. You probably haven't. Have you ever done one at United Center?
No, the only place I've been credentialed to is in Arizona. I've never been credentialed anywhere else.
Nah, they're old school. I think Mike Carrillo had to get somebody pretty high up at True Hoop to call the favor in, because like ESPN was like the name they would listen to. They wouldn't even listen to like Knickerbocker or whatever. They're rough. Oh well. The sabbatical rolls on.
All right, that's Kevin McElroy. He will know. You won't see anything written from him. Written. I don't even know. I haven't gone to sleep yet, and it's 5:30 in the morning. I can't speak anymore. And that wraps up like a joint edition of the Podium Game and Knickerblogger podcast.